is Coles and Juniper?
I'm sorry?
What is Coles and Juniper? Juniper's a tree.
We'll have to look that up. Well, it'd be a Coles left on burning juniper tree, I would assume. You're talking about the smell of it? For those of you that, alright, turn on here. Thank you. We cooking with grease now, people. But if you did bring your book, go to paragraph 328 if you want to read along. If not, you can read right here.
I don't remember that pole being right in the
middle.
Way for me to.
It hadn't moved, Mom.
Well, that can go either way.
Can you see that now?
Actually, it was closer to the.
Must have been overcome.
Maybe you turn it that way, Wayne.
Can y'all see it? Brett, Lisa? You can see that? That angle? Yeah, I'm looking.
I'm not that old yet.
Okay. Alright, now we've been talking about the statue of perfect man. Now we're gonna read what the prophet said, and we're gonna read, and then we'll make some comments. But I want to get to the blasphemous names part. And listen, this is tricky to understand. It's like Brother Luis said last Sunday. Many people in the message teach that you gotta get all these virtues before you get the Holy Spirit. A lot of people. Okay? Right, Bob?
That's right.
A lot of people do. And that's not true at all. That's not according to the Bible. It's not according to the prophet's message. Okay, so I've got two witnesses there that's right. Enough for me. Right? And the teaching of this church is you must be born again in faith. Then when you get to this Holy Spirit, that is an anointing not different from the Holy Spirit that you received, but it is to a degree a little bit different. Because it's anointing that comes on you. I'll read it in just a minute. Watch this. But we'll go to, if we got enough time, we'll go to blasphemous name. Because what Brother Branham says, the true baptism. Now this one down here wasn't false.
That's right.
But now Revelations 3:14 says the faithful and true witness. Jesus, talking about Jesus. Right. That didn't mean he was false at one time and become true.
Right.
That meant he was true all the way through. Everybody understand that? Brother Branham explained that in the Church Age book. He said the faithful and true witness, not that everything else was false or that he was false and become true. Because see, in our brain we go, well, this is false, but it become true.
Right.
You can't take something that's false and make it true.
Right.
You can't.
That's right.
If it's false, it's like Brother Dale was talking about Wednesday night. If it's true, it's true. If it's false, it's false.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now remember, truly we were false in our birth.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay, came to us at the new birth.
Yeah.
Right.
All
right?
To make us positive.
Right.
Okay? To make us positive. But then there's anointing that comes on, because remember, there's got to be anointing of this Holy Spirit to take you into a different level that most people will never see. Most all these church age messengers will never see past that, or have never seen past that. They're already gone on. They can't attain to that. That's why Paul said, they without us cannot be made perfect. They without us cannot be made perfect. All right? So that doesn't mean that we're false down here and then we become perfect. No, we receive the perfect, perfect new birth in our soul. But now remember, our spirit still has memory. Reasoning, there's no reasoning in the center realm.
That's right.
The center realm is either faith or doubt.
That's right.
There's no reasoning in the center realm. If you reason on the Word of God,
yeah,
you're reasoning in your spirit.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You can't reason in your soul.
That's right.
That soul is the perfect Word of God that never sinned a day in its life.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8, like Brother Dale was talking about Wednesday night. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. That soul is in you now. It's not your soul that came somewhere. It's God's soul.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Come to you, mm-hmm, at the new birth.
Right.
Brother Brown said vulcanize. The only time, right, he ever says vulcanize is in this statue of perfect man. Vulcanizes that together, and you and him become one as persons. So you're not, that's why Brother Brown said, I don't believe in pre-existence of soul. So we weren't pre-existing in the condition that you had a soul and you were walking around on earth up in glory and You had a soul because you were predestinated. No, you were predestinated in the gene of God.
Right.
The gene seed of God. Like me. we're all adults here. Males have sperm.
Right.
Now, I don't have all the sperm I'm going to need for the rest of my life to produce children. Now, you sisters have all the eggs, right?
Right.
So you've got all the eggs. You're not going to produce any more eggs. They're all laying in you somewhere. But now a male, if you'll study this, a male sperm is produced from the spinal cord. The blood is, like Brother Dale said, it's highly congealed blood. The blood is compacted together and by a chemical process goes down into the testicles. Okay? I mean, I'm making a point. I want you to realize something. But remember, Josh was not in me in that sperm form when I was in my daddy. Because sperm, if you don't use it, let's be plain, it comes out sometimes during sex and all the things like that. Well, see, that's all seed. But there was one that was predestinated that come Josh Dale. But Josh Dale couldn't be in me in sperm form. That's why Brother Brown said you were in your great great grandfather. You weren't in your great 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 grandfather as sperm form. You were in genetic form. Your genes. The genes that you have. Come on in. Yeah, I knew they were coming. I just didn't know when they were going to get here. And we have a molecular biologist with us today, and she's going to explain DNA. I left a spot for you. No, I'm just kidding. Put you on the spot. Listen. Stand up. You're already standing up. Tell her by your name.
Grace.
Okay, that's Grace. Sister Grace. And she goes to Brother Gene Williams Church in Anderson, okay? And then you stand up and tell them your name.
Hi, I'm Shakarian.
She's a Florida fan. Yeah. No. And your sister?
I'm Christina.
Alright, you stand up.
I'm Christina.
She's Christina.
I'm Christina.
I'm Denisha the Incarnation.
Amen. Good to meet them. Good to have you with us today. And everybody knows who Christine and
Harry on.
The weird one. But as we were talking about, it's genetic form. It's gene form that we are in, not in an act. Okay? So as we're born again, we come from the gene of God. Because remember, God doesn't have sperm.
Right.
He's spoken word. But the genetic form that we are comes from the Bible. It comes from the strands that was in God. That Genesis 1:26 man. Let us make man in our own image. Well, now the reason that my son looks like me, the reason he was created in my image is because he has my genetic makeup. That's why he doesn't look like Bob's kid. He looks like my kids because he came from my genetic makeup. So we come from the genetic makeup of God. Now we come human form, all right? We come human form. Babies born, just like we were talking about there in the Bible, from the fruit of the womb, which was the mother, all right? But when we come to be born again, we're born again, Jesus said, from above. Nicodemus said, do I need to go back into my mother's womb? Well, see, he was thinking natural thoughts. But God said, no, you got to be born from above. So the quickening power of God, the gene seed of God had to come to quicken you, birth you into another family. Remember, it's out of and into.
Right.
You got to come out of this family.
Right.
Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I'm a son of God. Now, he did deny where he came from. You couldn't. Because his mama said, no, I know he came from me. But when he realized that the one inside of him was so much God, till he said, no, I'm a son of God. So this, when we start down here at the bottom of the pyramid, you are a son of God. You have the genetic makeup of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
We believe in this church, you get born again here, and then you go up through this process of growth development. All right? Now here, you're newborn babes. Romans 8 says, we won't put it up there, but Romans 8 says, what? You receive the spirit of adoption. See, this is adoption here. Right? This is adoption. This is not adoption. You come into the family. You receive the spirit of adoption. In other words, I can't adopt Ryan's children. Sure, naturally I could. If something happened to them too and they passed away, I'd adopt his kids. That's natural. But I can't adopt his kids because they're his kids. So God can't adopt the devil's kids because they're not his.
Right.
They're not part of that Genesis 1:26 man. But if you're part of that Genesis 1:26 man, you receive the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, cry, Abba Father. Crying is baby. Paul says you can drink milk, but you need the sincere meat. You need the meat of the word.
So that spirit of adoption is the Holy Spirit we receive.
That's correct. Spirit of adoption.
Right.
Because you, in other words, you're in line for adoption. If you're not born again, you're not going to be in line for adoption.
Right.
Just because you're in the message and been in the message 30 years, message has no seniority.
Right.
This message has zero seniority.
Right.
Somebody could come in the message and be in the message 30 years. Just use you for an example. We grew up together, Sister Frieda and I did. And now things are being quickened to you that maybe it was quickened to somebody else that may be only in the message a year.
Right.
So God's, he does, so he's not a respecter of persons. But when you make yourself available for the word,
right.
See, you got to make yourself available because right. We're not going to get into this weekend, this week, but the word is the seed you're looking at.
Yeah.
See, the word, this is the genetic makeup of God. This is the only thing we got to go by.
Right.
This is the, if you want to see my genetic makeup, look at my kids. If you want to see God's genetic makeup, look at his kids. But we have to reflect back to here.
Right.
Because remember, the sower went out to what? Sow seed.
Right.
And the disciple said, well, what are you talking about? He said, then he broke it down. He said, okay, the sower is the Son of Man. What? That's God in human flesh. A preacher.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
A preacher. We don't believe God in human flesh is Jesus 2,000 years ago or William Branham 50 years ago. I believe if you're born again, you've got your God in human flesh standing here today.
Right.
If you're going to hear like we were talking about down in Mobile,
yes.
That's a little strong, but they got it.
Good.
If you're going to hear from Melchizedek, you're going to hear from him through me.
Right.
That's right.
Because Melchizedek was God in human flesh preaching to Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're going to hear it from Brother Jewel Forney this morning, that's God in human flesh talking to you. There's Melchizedek, the priest. Remember, he's a high priest. Melchizedek's a high priest. He's the one who's talking to you. He talked to Abraham, didn't he? Amen? So this is the gene seed of God right here.
Right.
It's not some little seed that runs around somewhere and it's in your body somewhere. This is it here. Because the sower went out and sowed the seed, cast it, threw it out. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on ground that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Some fell on ground that didn't get watered very well. It's the situation that you put it in.
Right.
It's the situation you put the seed. You know, I can take seed out there and I can throw it out there on the concrete and say, oh, dear Lord, give me a crop.
Right.
I'm doing it amiss, or I'm doing it by iniquity because I know better.
Yeah.
I know the law.
Exactly.
The law says you've got to put it in the ground. It's got to have moisture. It's got to have warmth for it to crack that seed and to bring the life out. Okay? That's the same thing with the statue of a perfect man. We're born again here at faith, and then add to your faith. Add to your faith. You see what Peter says? Add to your faith.
Right.
So in other words, it's my possession. Brother Brown said, this is my eye. God gave it to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's God's Holy Ghost, but when he gave it to me, it's mine.
Right.
He's not an Indian giver, so he don't want it back.
Right.
He wants me to give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay? So you come up through here, and we're going to read. Now, we've already come up, and for those of you that are new today, we've already been through, this is number 63. So we've been 63 Sundays on this statue of a perfect man, starting at faith and going all the way up to brotherly kindness. And we're right here where it says Holy Spirit. And many people teach that you have to get all these virtues to get the Holy Spirit. We do not believe that because the prophet didn't teach it or the Bible doesn't teach it. You have to take everything back to the Bible. 2 Peter says, having the divine nature of God add to your faith. Now, what's the divine nature of God? That's the new birth.
Yes.
You can't be divine without having God. The devil's not divine.
That's right.
If divine nature, see, there's that nature that comes, the gene.
Yes, sir.
I walk like my grandfather, mama's daddy. Of course, I can't see behind me, thank God. But when I walk, she says, you walk like your grandpa. The reason I walk like my grandpa is because I have his genetic makeup in me.
Right.
Okay? You understand what I mean? So the way we walk is because we have the genetic makeup of our father.
That's right.
Because remember, New Jerusalem is your mother, the scripture says. Isn't that pretty, girl? That's my grandbaby. Not this one, that one. Easy.
Did you say that the genetic makeup of God is faith? Because that's what's at the bottom.
These are the traits. These are the, hey, listen. These are family traits.
Okay.
Okay? We haven't got into that. We've got to get closer to the family part now. But these are family traits.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Each family has a different trait.
That's right.
Some families, you know, like to do this and that and the other, and we're all different. As far as humanly, genetically, our genetic makeup different. But when we receive the soul of God, that takes us out of that human nature.
Right.
Kills the nature, not the soul, kills the nature that's on that soul.
That's right.
Amen? You kill a soul, you die.
That's right.
So it kills the nature that's attached to that soul.
Right.
Because when you were born into this world, you received the nature that was contrary to God.
Amen.
Because you were born contrary to God.
That's right.
Why Jesus told Nicodemus, said you must be born again, because you weren't born right the first time.
That's right.
Jesus, but now remember, Jesus could say that because he was born right.
Right.
He was born spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right.
So he could say, ye must be born again. He didn't say, Nicodemus, me and you need to be born again.
That's right.
He said, you need to be born again. And then when Nicodemus took the carnal application, said, well, I got to go back in my mother's womb and be born again. He said, no, you got to be born from above.
Right.
All right? So this is being born from above, and then we display the attributes or the genetic makeup of God. Because remember, in the scripture, you see all these words.
Right.
You see all these traits and characteristics all up the statue of a perfect man. And thank God that God sent a prophet that could put the thing together for us. Because Peter couldn't stand there when he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And put it together like this.
Right.
That's right.
He couldn't.
Right.
He had a partial revelation on what he spoke.
That's
right? Because Paul had a partial revelation. He said, we which are alive and remain.
That's right.
Well, he ain't a we no more. He's not a we, he's dead. He's waiting on we.
That's right.
Waiting on us to come to what? Perfection.
Right.
Be therefore perfect or complete. This is completeness. But let's read. We didn't get to it last week. We're hardly going to get to it this week. I get to talking too much.
Well, you are. That clock is fast.
Okay. Now, in building the virtue, building this monument, building this stature, not a statue.
Right.
A statue doesn't move.
That's right.
Stature is growth development.
That's right.
Yes.
Like we were talking about giving the keys of the car to a kid. Well, for those of you that are new, we did it last week. See, when you were, say Zoe, there's Zoe there. Give her the keys and let her drive your car. Let her drive your car. It's got all that Florida junk on it. I told you I was going to pick on you. Well, now, wait a minute. She's got the same ears you have. She's a human. She's got a nose, two eyes. She has the capability of having children. But in the form she's in, baby form, she can't produce like an adult.
Right.
But wait a minute. She's a human. She's got two legs. She can touch the gas pedal. If you get her down there far enough, she can touch the brake. Well, why can't we give her the key? Because she's a baby. She has not developed enough mentality to handle the situation of driving a car. But yet she has all the ability to do it. Same way with God. When you're born again, you're born into the body of Christ, you have all these potentially.
Alright?
I said potentially. You have all these. Because God don't sit there and you know, hand stuff out like cards.
That's right.
Right.
But remember, the teaspoon of the ocean has the same ingredients of the ocean, but it's in a small quantity.
That's right.
Yeah. But see, God wants us to step out of that teaspoon and get into the ocean.
That's right.
This is the ocean.
Okay.
Okay, but you got the same makeup. She's got the same makeup as all you sisters in here. But she's not, her growth development has not come to a place to where she can be mature enough to handle the situation of driving or being a mother or all these other things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I do is the natural things I see, I can put it in the Bible and I can put it in the prophet's message. Because he said an illiterate person can receive the Holy Ghost. That's somebody can't even read. So you must have to be able to see to understand. See to understand. Right? So we see that you're given the ability, once you move into this family, to watch. Now, building the virtue, building this monument, building this stature, see, it starts out with the foundation stone, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And what does it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. And He controls. He is the strength of every one of these things. That's right. Yes, sir. Right in here, see, I got in between all these works in here. These little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down. Now, in the original drawing, I've seen it one time, and Daddy may have it somewhere, but the original drawing that Brother Branham drew, there's squiggly lines that go down through here from this Holy Spirit. So that's what he's saying right here. Here these little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ's seat, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Now, what did we talk about last Sunday? To weld something, you need two pieces.
Right.
You can't weld just one piece. What are you going to weld it to?
That's right.
You got to have two pieces, so it's you and God,
the
Holy Ghost, welding all this together and sealing it in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Holy Spirit, Christ coming down. Christ is what? The anointed. So He's going to anoint you with these virtues, seal you in. Now listen. The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a what? An almost perfect church.
No.
Wait a second.
Imperfect.
Oh, perfect church. For the capstone to cap it off. Because remember, that's got to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Christ has to come here before we go there. It's not us coming up here. We come to a place, it's God coming down. Christ came down in 1963 to Brother Branham. But has He come to you?
Right.
You've got to have an experience like Brother Branham had. Not an experience of a prophetic experience. But you've got to have an experience. If God's going to say, and let me say this one, make this one statement. Even Jesus Christ, when He came up to the River Jordan, we know He didn't need the Holy Ghost because He was born with it.
Right.
Or He couldn't tell Nicodemus, you must be born again. But there was a dove came down and a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Stop. Right? He didn't say, "Hear ye Him." He stopped. He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Well, you know what? God said the same thing. The day you got born again, He said, "This is My beloved Son, our daughter, in whom I'm pleased to dwell." If God give you the new birth, there's something about you He's pleased to dwell. Okay? But now you go on several years later, Jesus had to walk, Brother Brown said, and even the Bible says He grew in grace and knowledge and favor with man. And the Bible says, being made perfect. Now, Jesus didn't need to be made perfect in His soul.
That's right.
Or His spirit. But He had to bring that body under subjection.
That's right.
Right? So He comes up through here, and then He comes up into Matthew 17, up on a mountain. And God comes down now and says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him."
Right.
In other words, I have instilled everything that I need into this man right here. And if you're going to get anything from Me, the Father, if you're going to get anything from Me, you're going to get it through that guy right there.
Right.
So God takes Brother Brown, He comes to this position. Brother Brown comes up to a mountain. And God says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him."
Amen.
Go back to Jeffersonville. Because see, this is the seals. This is not the seals. People, for those new ones, Paul had all this.
Right.
Peter had all this, or he couldn't preach about it.
Right.
See, we're not coming to... Brother Branham brought us up to a place, and if he would have stopped right here, there would have had to have been somebody come. Because the headstone has got to come.
Amen.
Right?
That's
right. So Brother Branham said, not in the years of preparation. This is getting us ready to receive this.
That's right.
This is getting the flesh under the bed.
This is getting the flesh under and the spirit. Because remember, see, our spirit is not
right.
The Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Right.
Our spirit has memory, reason,
right.
Conscious, affection, imagination. There's none of that in God as far as the new birth. Because
right.
you can't imagine having the Holy Ghost. No, you either got it or you don't.
That's right.
But that's the filter that we're talking about. Several weeks ago we talked about the filter. Because if you got God in here and there's the new birth, now that's God. Genesis 1:26, man that never sinned a day in his life. If you're born again, that's what you have in your soul.
Right.
But since we've been born into this fallen condition, our body and spirit and soul needed redemption. But the soul gets redeemed first, right? When you're born again, your soul is redeemed. It's not faith and doubt.
Right. That's right.
It's faith or doubt.
That's right.
One of the two. Doubt or faith. Then you come out into the second realm, which is five senses. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Now, listen. It doesn't matter about the first five. The first five are just giving you to contact this world.
Okay.
See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And you can absolutely fool all five of those senses.
That's right.
Go to a magician or go to some hypnotist or something. They can fool those five senses. Right? So that's just given to you as a filter to contact the world. You see through your eyes. But God wants you to see.
That's right.
Not see through your eyes.
That's right.
But see through your heart.
Right.
Okay? But the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. My problem is in my reasoning, my memory of what I did before I got born again, because it didn't go away.
Right.
But you got to bring it under subjection.
That's right.
Conscious. Imagination. There's no imagination in God.
That's right.
So what God has to do is He has to come down through all that and birth you and then work His way back out. Through your memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. Because you're using your memory now and your reasoning to reason out what I'm saying.
That's true.
It either, like Brother Brown said, it either that symbol goes ding or it goes boom.
Right.
One of the two.
Yeah.
But you're working back out.
That's right.
You're working back out through the senses. But Satan can still get all the way down into that spirit realm. And that's where the flues are.
Mm-hmm.
Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's the devil's playground.
Right. Right.
But also, God has to use them for you to contact Him.
Are we reasoning together right now?
We're reasoning together right now, which is not bad if you're doing it from a spiritual aspect.
Right.
But if you're reasoning, saying, well, this man over here said,
right.
I don't care what that man said.
Right.
If Brother Brown said and the Bible said, you got to be born again before you receive these. You got to be in a family before you can receive these things. You can't be the devil's kids and have these virtues and be godly virtues. These are divine nature of God. Not just nature. I mean, there are some people that have worldly knowledge. But this ain't worldly knowledge. This is the knowledge of Almighty God. To reason, right or wrong. Because you're going to set up there, Brother Joel Forney's going to be preaching, and you're going to reason whether he's preaching the truth or error. I mean, some of us for sure have been sitting in other churches and hear a false doctrine and something go off.
Uncertain sound.
If it didn't, right, it's an uncertain sound. But if something don't go off, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Because I've heard one place, we were at one place, and I'll tell you this before we leave. 600 people were in the crowd and they were up shouting except for about 8 of us. And I thought, God, are we so wrong? Yeah, you treated with their team. It was false. It was false. I wasn't going to amen something
well,
that was false.
Tell us what they said.
I don't. It doesn't matter. You got to reason that out yourself. But I thought, are we that wrong? And something spoke and said, no, fear not, little flock.
Yeah, that's right.
But something rang in my heart that said, that's not the truth. Now, buddy, that's the Holy Ghost. That ain't the devil. Because the devil will agree with error before he'll agree with the truth. That's why they were all shouting. I'm not calling them all devils, but they were in a deception. Their flues had been stopped up. Because you can be in error and have the Holy Ghost, okay? So you can't be all wrong and just be of the devil. No, you can have the Holy Ghost and be wrong in your doctrine for a little while, but if truth is ever presented to you, like Martin Luther, let me finish with this. Martin Luther preached the just shall live by faith. Now look, if I was to come and preach Martin Luther's doctrine today, it'd be Antichrist.
That's right. It's true.
Because he baptized in the name of the Father, Son,